Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you as always by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It's Bish Cakes, EB, and JP celebrating a Commanders playoff win. It's been 20 years. On a Victory Monday brought to you by Chiniga Mios, a 2024 top workplace. Visit careerswithmios.com. Join us right now, this guy who wore the uniform, played corner for him, our pal Fred Smoot. What's up, Fred?
Smooty.
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing on this Victory Monday?
How's it feel for you? Because you're still a fan, and this team has struggled for so many years. You've covered them. To finally see them win a playoff game.
Did we lose them? Are we getting a bad sell? We're in a bad sell. We're in a bad sell. I didn't do anything. Let me see. Hold on.
Smoothie.
I didn't do anything.
While we're trying to figure that out,
I'm calling back.
This is what happens on a Victory Monday.
Yeah.
A listener just Venmo'd Drab $50 for us to get breakfast. And we got McDonald's. We had a
good man.
We had some machinations to figure it out, to like get the Venmo. He shipped me Venmo, did Uber Eats. But it worked out. Cakes has a big old iced coffee over
so
there.
Delicious.
That's what happens when you win playoff games. You start giving money away.
Yeah, you say free. You get free and easy with the cash. It's very nice.
Yeah.
Plus, I got a BOGO. I have a sandwich for tomorrow, too.
All right, so we'll see what happens with Fred. We wanted to ask him about Marshawn Lattimore in particular. I know at halftime, PFF put up the individual matchup. It was 4-for-4 for like 50-plus yards and the touchdown for Mike Evans against Marshawn Lattimore. So second half, I know Collinsworth made a point of it that they clearly made a defensive adjustment, and it wasn't Lattimore Island just following around Mike Evans.
No, you can't call him Lattimore. You can't give him the Revis Island treatment.
That's why I said it wasn't.
Not at this point in his career.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. Come on.
I don't know. I've told you for 2 weeks now I've been nervous about this. He wasn't challenged in the New Orleans game. The Philly game, he had a million penalties, and it didn't look great.
I feel like they acquired damaged goods.
Yeah, there could
personally,
be.
Personally, at this point.
It's also an excellent receiver and a really good quarterback.
Understood? It is, no doubt.
Yeah, but this is why they acquired him, to cover Evans, St. Brown, or Williams, whoever he covers on Sunday.
We'll ask Fred, see what he's seeing.
Yeah.
Fred, what's up, buddy? You there?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here, fellas.
All right. What are you seeing with Marshawn? I mean, do you see like a hesitation? Do you see, like, what are you seeing? Because why is he seemingly struggling? Is it simply because he's playing elite receivers?
No, you have to understand, when you play the cornerback position, it's a flawed position from the door.
Right.
And understanding that this guy was acquired mid-season and you asking him to come in and be your number one guy, the one thing Champ Bailey told me the first week I made it here was, if you're going to be a number one corner, you need to realize that you're going to get 12 to 14 attempts, because they're not going to stop throwing to your number one receiver just because you lined up on them.
Mm-hmm.
That's a challenge inside of itself. People don't understand how hard that job is. And what Marshawn gives you is a guy that's willing to fight. And if you got a guy that's willing to go out there and fight, you got a guy that's go out there and give you a chance to win. It's like baseball and being a hitter. If I can go 4-for-10, I could be an all-star. Like, it's a very flawed position.
Yeah.
I will say that a couple of those plays, the Baker, his throws were just on point. Like, I didn't think that Marshawn had horrible coverage. It was just a great throw. It was a laser. And Evans is a big dude, so if you're behind him and it's a laser, you're not going to stop that.
He turned him around one time, though. He definitely turned him around one time.
Yeah, it wasn't perfect. But I felt like Baker Mayfield put Evans in some good spots.
Well, here's the thing about it. When you're dealing with receivers over 6'2", they have what we call a big catch radius, and they also can catch bad thrown balls because they do have such a big catch radius. And when you're talking about Mike Evans, you're talking about 11 consecutive years with 1,000 yards, so he's done this to everybody. And the one person that's kind of been his kryptonite is our guy, Marshawn Lattimore. But you also got to understand, man, that it's a thin line when it comes to that position.
Fred, who was the Mike Evans of your era? Was it Randy Moss? Is it somebody else that I'm not thinking of at this point? Who would you comp him to?
You had your Randy Mosses, you had your Terrell Owens, you had your Plexico Burns. You had so many tall guys You had your Mike Williams. You had your Megatrons. You had a ton of dudes with a lot of length that can get out there and run and that can make plays in the red zone. So it's been a ton of these guys.
I'm ignorant of defense. I don't understand it. But, like, why was he playing off him so many times? He's such a physical guy. Let's get him up there tight. I did see a little bit in the second half. He did a little of that. But why not more tighter coverage?
Because he wants to play with vision. And if you want to play with vision, you have to step off and play it like 6 or 7, 8 yards to get your pedal so you can read. Like, everything can't be pressed. Like, whatever Coach Wick called, that's what he has to play. And inside of those plays, because some of those coverages look like man coverage, but some of that's with match coverage, where they actually matching coverage with the corner and the safety. Mm-hmm. Certain routes get handed off and certain routes don't get handed off. And for me to see everything clearly and see the route patterns clearly, I need to play it from off instead of playing press man.
So do you have any problem with what you saw, like, technique-wise or his approach? You think it was A-okay?
Come on, fellas, listen to me. He held him under 100 yards. I know it started off, and it kind of looked like he was running away with it, but Mike Evans did not go under 100. They did enough to go out there and win the game. It was a totally team victory. Offense showed up. Defense showed up. Special teams made plays when it was time for them to make plays. I'm sorry. When you're playing in the playoffs, the other team deserved to be there also. So you're going to play against another top-notch team. Plays will be made by the other team. We will never play the perfect game, but it was perfect enough for me because we won by 3, and that's all that matters. And plus now, we headed to Detroit, and we ain't going to buy no Cadillac. So I'm fine with that.
I love it. All right, I want to get your take then, because you have a more sophisticated eye than all of us, on Brian Robinson and the running game in general struggles. I'm going to defend Brian in this sense that, I mean, clearly the production hasn't been there the last few weeks, but like yesterday, I don't know where the yardage was. He seemed to be hit behind the line of scrimmage quite a bit. There was very little room from what I could see from my couch.
Well, guess what? That's why you have a Vita Vea, 340 pounds of a man inside to stop the run. You got Clancy, and you got Vontae Davis, and you got literally like this was a Super Bowl defense literally like 3 years ago. So this team was made for the playoff. This team was made to stop the run. And yeah, I think a lot of B-Rob struggles have came from a couple of wild boys, B-Oddish and the rest of them being hurt in and out the lineup.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of messed things up on that one. And then we also asked Zay Daniels to be Superman and him take over the running thing. So it's one of those things where it's a little bit of everything. Could it be his injuries catching up to him? Could it be that people are catching up to the run game and we have to switch it up ourselves? I just think it's different levels to it, and you can't just point at one thing because no running back has got in there and done what we've done at the beginning of the year. So it's not really a one-person thing. It's a team problem that needs to be solved.
Hey, should we be giving Washington's defense a little more credit? They did hold Tampa to 20 points.
Yes, you should. Like, think about this. These guys, this is the same team that Tampa team went to Detroit and beat Detroit. This is the same Tampa team that gave everybody fits all year. Baker Mayfield had a hell of a year. I know he turned the ball over a little bit more than any other coach would want, but Baker had a hell of a year. Mike Evans had a hell of a year. Bucky Irvin ran the ball, and this team went blow for blow with them. We've watched this defense from week 10 get better and better week in and week out. No, have they had their perfect game yet? No, they haven't had the perfect game yet. But do they make timely stops? Do they make timely turnovers? Yes, they do. Bobby Wagner showed why he's going to be a future Yellow Jackie yesterday. He stole from the first quarter to the fourth quarter that he came to bring pain. So I think these guys are playing great ball off of each other, and that's what made this team grow. The same team that Tampa seen week one, this was not the same team that they seen the first week of the playoffs because they are a different team that's matured and learned how to play together.
All right, so since you mentioned the Lions – and you mentioned Tampa knocking off the Lions. We were talking about it amongst ourselves, and we each described the chance that Washington has against the Detroit Lions, whether it was a good chance, a reasonable chance, a decent chance. Bish says a limited chance. How does Fred Smoot see this matchup against the Lions?
Anytime we go out on the field and we got Jedi 5 on the quarterback, we got a chance to win. Anytime we go on the field and Dan Quinn is over there coaching on that sideline to bring you guys together, we got a chance to win. It ain't no team in the NFL that we're scared of that we cannot beat. We can score on anybody, and if Jedi 5 has the ball last in this offense, everybody knows. There's no – like yesterday, with 4 minutes left, when we seen that our offense had the ball, the whole DMV knew we was going down there to score. This is a new world order. This is something that we've never felt. And I understand people don't know how to react to it sometimes and speak highly of it sometimes, but it's no team that this team is afraid of. Any place, anywhere, anytime, these guys ready to play football. So it ain't no team that I think we're afraid of.
Smoothie, what's your thought on the philosophy and the mentality of DQ to go for a bunch of fourth downs, 3 for 5 in this game, 87% coming into the game, which I don't know, that was a crazy number. I couldn't believe that when I saw that. But what's your philosophy on going for so many fourth downs, especially on the road?
I love it. Just think about this. With Coach Dan Quinn versus Coach Dan Campbell, they might as well just lead a punter at home, because both of these offenses go for it on fourth down all the time. It makes it hard for a defense to prepare for you, because think about it. If you go for four downs, you don't need but 2.5 yards per game to get a first down. So it's very, very hard to stop you when they know that you go for it on fourth down at a high clip. And both of the teams that are about to see next Sunday go for it on fourth down. It's the ultimate equalizer. When you got a running quarterback, he becomes the ultimate equalizer. Plus, he's a force multiplier. I mean, he's making everybody around him better. That's why you see guys like downtown De'Ami Brown go make plays yesterday, because when you got a quarterback, you have a chance, and we got that.
All right, so I want you to be defensive coordinator this week. Give me the matchups. Give me the philosophy. Who are you putting Lattimore on? Who are you? You know, who's going to cover Jameson Williams?
How are you going to stop Gibbs?
How are you going to stop Gibbs? You coordinate this defense. How would you do it?
Yeah. First of all, I know this is going to sound funny. I'm going to force them to throw the ball. I cannot let you run the ball with speed and knuckles. I cannot let you dictate this game on the ground. I cannot let you show your physicality. We're going to have to force you to throw that ball, and I'm not moving my corners. I'm keeping them left and right. I'm keeping Sanders Steele on the left. I'm keeping Lattimore on the right, and I'm understanding that both y'all going to have to check Jameson. Both y'all going to have to take a Rossé Brown. They don't worry about that, but I'm going to put my safety in the box. I'm going to put Chin in the box, and I'm going to have him to live a physical pain most of the time. I'm going to force you to beat me with your quarterback. I'm going to have to force you to beat me with your game plan. I'm going to force you to beat me with your offensive line. Think about it. If I had to really go and say, let's match and see who has the best this and the best this, I think the best offensive line that we played all year long has been the Philadelphia Eagles. The complete group is the Philadelphia Eagles. I think the best running back we have faced this year has been Saquon Barkley. Even that, we're going to play these guys next week. So we've played better competition. We can beat these guys. Believe it, baby. It's real.
Fred, how fun was it being a Commanders ambassador along with B. Mitch at the Commanders pregame at the bar in Tampa when Josh Harris bought a round of Bud Lights for everybody? And are you following the team to Detroit? Maybe you're the good luck charm, Fred.
Wait. No. I was here. I was at the MGM where Josh Harris bought everybody there. Bud Lights bought everybody there beer. I was here handing out beer 2 days ago at bars all around the National Harbor because the ownership felt like they need to hand out more beers to everybody. So when you have great leadership, you have a chance. So, yes, if I'm the good luck charm, so be it. I don't care. I think this team is the good luck charm. I think the way that they believe in themselves when nobody else believes in them, we are one of the best fourth quarter teams of the last decade. Nobody talks when Kansas City wins by 3 every week because it's just what they do. But when we do it, people find a way to tell us that win just wasn't good enough. Well, it's good enough for me because we're moving on to the next to the next level of the playoffs.
Smoothie, this team was 4-13 last year, as you know. They are 13-5. I mean, can you even fathom that? I mean, have you ever seen anything like a 1 year turnaround like that?
I have never seen a 1 year turnaround like this, and not just a 1 year turnaround. Like, we've had years where we have run that we didn't come back the next year thinking, oh, we're going to be even better. Well, people need to understand, this is ground zero. This is year 1.5 for the ownership. This is year 1 for Dan Quinn. This is year 1 for Coach Witt. Like, this is, how dare I say this? This could be the worst we're going to be for the next decade. That's scary to people. All right, that's scary to people that doubt. That's scary to people that carry to the rest of the NFL, because ain't nothing harder on the NFL than the nation capital, America's real team, all right, coming back to spirits in this fan base, the waking up awake a silent giant that's been asleep for so long. That's scary to everybody. So I understand why they don't want to believe and why they non-believers. I totally do.
Smoot, always love talking to you.
Good stuff, bro.
Hey, anytime, fellas, man. Hey, enjoy y'all victory Monday with all the libations that you can drink, brother.
Thank you. Yeah, you too, Smoot. Pal. Safe trip back. Right. Thank you, buddy.
I was trying to look up his best seasons as a pro. He never had a 12-win season. They had some decent teams. I was with Santana Moss on Friday.
Yeah.
By the way, that appearance at the Verizon store. Mm-hmm, need to thank the people who came out. There were some Junkies listeners who came out.
Very good.
First hour. No Santana Moss. He showed up in the second hour.
Oh, okay.
It's a much longer hour. You know what
is
I mean?
That brutal?
I mean, whatever. My guy Carl came. There were a couple listeners who came out.
And then it picked up immediately?
Yeah, there were a lot of people actually who were there in the first hour who were waiting for Santana Moss.
There had to be a lot of, where's Santana? When is Santana showing up?
You know what?
I'm guessing that was the vibe.
I think in the future, don't book me for any of those. It's just too much of a... It's just too much of an ego destroyer. Yeah,
put you in your place.
I get small enough ego as it is. I can barely hold on.
Was there a traffic issue, or did he just think the appearance was...
No, I think he was slated to be there from 5 to 6.
Oh, so
I was slated to be there from 4 to 6.
Yeah.
Ah, I got you. I'm not sure. Did Smoot ever play in a playoff game here?
Maybe in Minnesota.
I have to look.
Know.
Not sure.
I think in Minnesota he did, but I'm not sure about.
Well, Smoot was here. His first stint was 2001 through 2004. I have to look up Gibbs. They were in the playoffs in 2005, so I guess he missed that. And then 2007 gone. Through 2009.
Okay, 07, they lost the wild card in 07. All right, so he played in one, probably.
Coming up next, Joe Theismann joins us. We will talk to the legendary Washington quarterback next on a Victory Monday, brought to you by Chenega Mios, the 2024 Top Workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. So we were talking about what a playoff win can do in terms of a listener buying us breakfast. I don't know that I shouted out his name. Billy, thank you very much for the Venmo to Drab, which turned into McDonald's breakfast for us.
Thank you, Billy.
Another listener who often buys us food is Matthew. He didn't buy us food this morning, but he made brownies for us.
Oh, very nice.
Homemade brownies.
Mm. I'm not pretty eating good. Anything right now because I took a picture at the Cornell Columbia game and I look so obese that
I saw that picture. I thought you looked all right.
Oh, my face.
You're wearing like beige.
Yeah,
right?
No.
Like,
my fit was fire. But my face was atrocious.
You have the beard going.
It's not the beard. It's my fat, bloated face.
I didn't analyze it that closely.
Well, I know, but we all analyze our own picture. And I looked at it and I went, you are enormous. And so I'm just like fasting right now. I don't know when I'm going to start eating again. But,
but you can at least thank Matthew for hooking us with homemade brownies Billy for hooking us with food.
Next time,
that's
I'll
what
eat
happens
that.
When we win.
All right, Joe T there.
Joe T's here. Joe Theismann, legendary Washington quarterback.
You know he's pumped.
Joe's got to be on cloud nine. What's
Come
up,
on,
Joe?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey,
20
Joe.
Years since a playoff win. Can you believe it had been 20 years?
No, I didn't realize it was that. I knew it was a long time, but I just didn't realize it was that long. I mean, it's just, we're the cardiac commanders now. I think everybody's come up with all kinds of different names for who they are. It was just an incredible football game. You know, you'd almost think you get down to that stage of the game and you find yourself maybe relaxed a little bit and say, oh, they're going to pull it out. They pulled that one out. They pulled this one out. They pulled the one before out. They'll get it. But it doesn't change. And then all of a sudden that kick hits the upright and the bounce went our way. I literally jumped out of my chair and screamed. I've never done that. I've never ever, I get emotionally involved a little bit in our team, but I've never ever been that intense in watching this football team play football. They have to get the most entertaining football of the team of the year award.
Have to.
The most resilient team award. It's like I tweeted last night. I said, Jaden Daniels, going away rookie of the year. Why not MVP?
Hey, Joe, think about this. Alex Ovechkin had 25 goals in his career, in his rookie year, the last time that Washington won a playoff game. Now he's got 873.
He's had 873 goals in between.
He's got 848 goals in between playoff wins. Think about that.
Wow. I mean, yeah, you take numbers like that in the city of Washington and what our people have been able to accomplish, and it puts everything in perspective of how long it has been and how starved. One of the things I noticed was our home, the last home game against the Cowboys, they had an aerial view of the stadium. And for years, we've never seen the upper deck full, never seen hardly a body in the upper deck.
Yep.
It was, the stadium was packed. Bottom to top, and it was just so gratifying to see the support of the fans. You know, there's generations that haven't seen this. There's an entire generation that's been skipped, that has not had a chance to experience what we were lucky enough to be able to experience, and now this one is.
Joe, I want to get inside the quarterback's head. One thing that we have been impressed by with Jaden Daniels is his calm demeanor. It doesn't seem to change. Whether it is the beginning of the game or an end-of-game situation in the playoffs, you look at him on the sidelines, he's so stoic and relaxed.
Never seen
what was
like
it like for you in those situations, and what do you see in Jaden in those situations?
It was really funny. We've only seen him angry once, and that was when he got hurt, because he hates to come off the football field. Mm-hmm. But you're right, his demeanor is incredible. I always felt more comfortable in the bigger games. Like if you were playing somebody that was 2-10, we played Tampa one year. They hadn't won a game, and it's like, you know, you say to yourself, you don't want to be the one. You don't want to be that one that they have on their team. And it's Jaden has such great command and control of this offense, of his emotions. I mean, he's the end of that game. Towards the end of that game, he's talking to the defensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking to Tampa Bay's defensive lineman.
I know. I've never seen a guy so relaxed. It's crazy.
He's so comfortable.
Yeah.
And again, you can't just say enough about Cliff Kingsbury and the way he calls games, the shots he takes, and of course Dan going for it on fourth down. When points are available, you know, he just has such a belief in this football team and a belief in the players, and to go for it on fourth down like they do and trust Jaden the way they do, you have to have great confidence in your defense to be able to stop somebody if it doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never seen anybody, I don't care whether you're Josh Allen, whether you're Lamar Jackson, I don't care who you are, I've never seen anyone with the calm demeanor that Jaden has. I mean, he is so poised. The last throw he makes, it looked like the pocket was totally collapsing around him. And here's the thing about having the ability to run. It's a double-edged sword, because I call it sometimes seeing ghosts. Sometimes you feel pressure, or you think you feel pressure, but it's really not there, and you take off and run. In Jaden's case, he has been so judicious in when he wants to run out of the pocket and when he stays in the pocket to make the throws. Those kind of disciplines are difficult to teach. I mean, it's an innate ability to be able to play the position as well as he played it. I didn't realize, but he played 55 college football games.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, he played a lot of football. And if that is an endorsement to stay in college and play as many games as you can, if you think you're going to come to this level, I don't know what is.
Hey, Joe, you touched on
about him.
Yep.
You touched on Cliff there for a second. Do you think he stays here for a second year, or do you think he tests the head coaching market? Like, he's still getting paid by Arizona. Like, he's basically making head coach type money. Like, if he loves working with Jaden, I think he might stick around for another year unless somebody completely blows him away with an offer.
I agree with you. And look at the places you might go to. Where are you going to go find somebody like Jaden to work with? I mean,
Caleb's
not bad, but he's a long way from reaching a point where there's a comfort level like you see with Jaden. You know, look at the different. You look at the Cleveland. You know what's going to happen in other places. The Jets. I mean, what do you have? I guess my question is: if you look at the teams that would be interested, what do they present to a head coach like Cliff that would go and say, okay, this is a pretty good transition. Mm-hmm. This gives me a chance to win. I don't think there's any place to go. I would say he's going to stay. I would think so for sure. You know, obviously money would be an object, but boy, you know, he's, like you said, the economics shouldn't be an issue for him. It's a question of what he's having the opportunity to work with. So we see Jaden in his first year. What's year two going to look like? I think he's a different animal than C.J. Stroud. We saw C.J. in his first year in Houston just do rookie things, not like Jaden has done. But then year two was a struggle. I don't foresee that for Jaden Daniels. And the guys – and here's the other thing, too. You've heard me say this a number of times. The quarterback position is the single most dependent position on the field. If Bobby Wagner doesn't get that fumble away from Baker, you know, who knows what happens? If your defense doesn't do the things that they did, if they don't make plays, they don't make tackles, it's difficult to win. You know, if your kicker doesn't make kicks, I mean, that's the other thing is, this is the thing we've had. This is, to me, just an incredible team victory. Mm-hmm. You know, it starts, you know, obviously the quarterback is a key cog in it. But this team is playing like a football team that has such a great belief. And when you have teams that believe, they're not easy outs. They're not easy to beat because this team believes. You know, we saw it against – it started in Chicago, I think, when everybody said, hey, you know, maybe this is magical. Maybe there's a magical season. Mm-hmm. The percentages of that play being completed the way it was are extremely low. And then you start looking at, you know, a team of destiny. Why not? I guess we ought to start printing up T-shirts that say, why not us?
Hmm. Yeah, I think so. I said earlier, I couldn't have imagined this earlier in the season, but at this point, I could see Jaden hoisting a Lombardi trophy. Like, he's worthy. He's worthy of it, if he could get there.
Well, he is, and the team is worthy of it. And you know, it's a funny thing because you bring up an interesting point. When they talk about Super Bowl championships, they tend to talk about the quarterbacks, mm-hmm. not necessarily the teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Joe Montana has four. Terry Bradshaw has four. Mm-hmm. You know, Tom Brady has seven. You know, you reference the quarterback, which is interesting. But really, it's the team. It's, mm-hmm. it's the special teams. It's the defense. It's every element of it.
Yeah, it's true.
So, in Jaden's case, you know, he's there's so many things. If you wanted to write down all the things you look for in a quarterback, leadership, athleticism, decisions, understanding of the offense, understanding your players. Excuse me, I'm getting all choked up.
I'm getting overcome by talking about Jade. Yeah.
I am. If you make a list of those things and you check the box, he checks every one.
So your thoughts about Saturday night against Detroit, who had the week off. They're trying to rest some of their defensive guys. They might get a couple of them back. Gibbs is a legit RB, not just running the ball, but receiving. They got two really good.
And Montgomery's going to be healthy.
Montgomery should be back.
Yeah.
Well, your thoughts on that game?
I think it's going to be something this football team's going to look forward to go into Detroit. Sometimes the time off isn't an asset. It takes a little while to get the wheels greased up again and get going. You know, I think the early part of this football game will be critical. You know, for us, the end has been critical as well. But I think how this game starts and the flow that it gets will be something to keep an eye on. I think we'll be able to throw the football against them. I think we'll be able to do things against their defense. So I feel as good as I could feel about our football team going anywhere to play anybody, irrespective of their records. I mean, it doesn't matter how good you were yesterday. It's how good are you going to be tomorrow.
Joe Theismann, always love talking to you. Appreciate it. Hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Joe.
Look forward to catching up.
So, legend Joe T, let me tell you about the Purple Heart Foundation. Our nation's heroes need your support. If you have an old car or extra vehicle you no longer need, donating to the Purple Heart Foundation can provide critical assistance to vets and their families. Donating a car is easy. You'll get free pickup and a tax receipt. and veterans will get the life-saving support they need. Visit purpleheartfoundation.org to donate a car and help our heroes. We need your support today. That's the purpleheartfoundation.org. Coming up a little bit later in the program, we'll give you a chance to win tickets to go see Post Malone at Northwest Stadium.
Time now for Chasing 895. Alex Ovechkin became the second player in NHL history to score at least 20 goals in 20 straight seasons. When he potted his 20th against the Nashville Predators on Saturday, Gordie Howe is the only player with consecutive 20-goal seasons, accomplishing the feat in 22 straight. Ovi's 20th goal of the season was also the 873rd of his career, moving him within 22 of breaking Wayne Gretzky's NHL record of 894 goals. The 39-year-old forward scored an empty netter at 19:01 of the third period in the Caps' 4-1 win against the Predators.
Well, we all know what Alex Ovechkin's going to try and do here. Saros heads to the bench. Two-goal lead. Stamkos will circle. And a puck blue line. Josi got it blocked, and Ovechkin has it. It comes up through center. The Great Eight has given them what they want. An empty net goal for Alex Ovechkin, and the Capitals lead it 4-1.
John Walton with the call in Smashville. Chasing 895 is presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information.
I'm glad I got the buyout of $50 on that bet.
Oh, yeah. That was very benevolent of me.
You do remember I gave you $50.
I do remember. We're settled. We're okay. Squashed.
Hey, we should give a shout out, since you mentioned the Caps and scoring, to our pal Craig Lachlan, who's taking a leave of absence.
Mm-hmm.
He's having heart surgery.
Did he say what it's for? Like, what is it? Is it like a
tweeted out something specifically. You can look up on Twitter.
I know, I was watching when he announced it. Yeah. Okay.
No, we're wishing him and his family the best of luck. Speedy recovery. Yeah. Take as much time as you need. We'd love to have you back on the call.
To see
get
if
healthy
I can
first.
Find a tweet.
They're so good. I mean, I was even saying with my daughter the other day when we were watching, I'm like, I'm still, and we've been spoiled with these guys for like 30 years. I'm just stunned at just how smooth and how quickly they just assess things. Yeah. Locker in particular. There'll be a goal scored and he goes, and you'll see, I hit him off the toe here. And it's like, I can't even see it until you do it in slow motion.
Yeah.
And he sees it all live action, immediately explains
They're the best.
So he said that, he says, it's expected I'll miss the next few months of the season while I undergo and recover from open heart surgery to repair a bicuspid aortic valve, a congenital heart condition.
Mm. Okay. All right.
So shout out to him. Hey, real quick.
Who's sitting in for him?
Alan May, I know, is doing at least some of the color commentary. And I don't know if he's doing it for every game, but I know
Alan's
he's stepping
so intense.
In.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah.
Time for the Honda Huddle. Honda Huddle, driven by your local Washington area Honda dealer. Contact them for a great deal today. Assist to John DePompa, who sent this in. Two quarterbacks have engineered an offense on the road in the playoffs with zero punts and zero turnovers. In 2003, Peyton Manning did it, and in 2025, Jaden Daniels.
That's pretty good company to be in.
22 years since that happened?
Yep.
Wow.
Love it.
Zero punts, zero turnovers.
Well, he's the first rookie to win a road playoff game. Road playoff game?
Mm-hmm.
Since, for the Redskins. Any playoff game since 1950.
Well, that's what superstars do. They go and win road playoff games.
You want to do a shout-out?
No, I want to say my boy, Kevin Jones, they had a big win in St. Andrews over Georgetown Prep. Big buzzer beater. Nothing like buzzer beaters. Nothing like a game winner.
Yeah.
Big win over Georgetown Prep for
some
him.
Some reason when you said Kevin Jones, I was thinking Mike Jones. Because I know there's a Mike Jones DeMatha, and there's the Mike Jones who used to be at DeMatha.
Kev is my buddy.
Kevin
he's
Jones.
The AD and the basketball coach at St. Andrews, right. And we play golf all the time.
And then there's Kevin Jones, who used to be local here, who then went to Cleveland and...
Mm-hmm.
I want to give a shout out to Cooper Nord, my daughter's boyfriend, who was balling on Saturday against Columbia, hit 6 threes, finished with 20, nice win. Coop's just having a great junior year for the
Big
Red.
You know
what?
Maybe the Wiz can draft him because the Wizards went 9 for 46 from threes last night.
If you're looking for just a 3-point shooter, he's your guy.
Think about that number, 9 for 46. That's hard to
bad.
Do.
Yeah.
That's hard to do.
How my man Koulibaly do?
Not good.
I don't know.
Are you kind of checking the box? I can sense you're losing a little faith.
Again, not losing faith.
I can sense it.
No, I like to check in on him, see how he's doing. Because he's still like in his infancy stage in the NBA.
Hey, when they trade him away.
Koulibaly.
Are you still going to be a Koulibaly guy?
I'll be honest.
Koulibaly last night.
I mean, I don't think they're going to, but if they trade him away, I won't have the same fervor.
Koulibaly, Kuzma, and Jordy Poole combined 1-for-19 from threes.
Oof. That's tough. Hey, John Wall was in the building last night. He got a nice pop. He got a nice video tribute up on the Jumbotron.
I was trying to see if he has any
good... You got to find some highlights when it's 136.95.
Does he have any good splits? I remember early in the season, you get in the back patter because he had that one, like, 20-point game. In his last 10, he's not even averaging 10 a game.
Hold on. Last night, he had 10, 5, an assist, 2 swipes, and 2 blocks. That's not the worst line I've ever seen. Now, it's in a game you lost by 41 points.
Right.
Okay. So you could say it's kind of meaningless.
Well, and he was 3-for-12.
Yeah.
So he probably should add about 16 or 17 points.
Look, it's not, again, this is not a finished product. This is clearly them trying to figure out what's working and what doesn't. He's got to figure out what that roster mix looks like.
You're all in on the tank.
I just couldn't believe that.
Good luck. Good luck.
Get back to the Capitals.
Yeah.
61 points, I believe, is number one in the NHL. Mm-hmm. I think there are two other teams that have 61 points in the Eastern Conference.
Winnipeg, yeah.
They're number one by 5 points.
Winnipeg and Vegas, the only other teams.
So just some perspective on the season.
Winnipeg has 61 points, but they have played one more game than the Washington Capitals.
Yep.
So technically, Capitals have the better record.
So we put up the poll of the day brought to you by Surfside earlier. And the question was whether you believe Washington has a good chance to win. And kind of
good is a relative term.
It is a relative
term.
People
don't understand that.
53% say yes.
Yeah.
So it's 47% who believe they've got no chance. It's the Lions.
Good. It's the Lions.
Yeah, how many times are you going to say that this week?
Now you're getting into mode.
They're a good team, but don't act like they're some freaking juggernaut. They're a very good team. They have super talented players. But let's not act like
they're
not freaking Patriots.
They're not unbeatable.
Yeah. I mean, I could really wrap myself in a pretzel and come up with a scenario where I kind of make fun of a lot of their wins, too.
Hey, you can make fun of this, though, and this is undisputed. They've never even sniffed the Super Bowl.
Exactly. That's why I said they're just...
They barely know what the Super Bowl is in Detroit.
They're the favorites. They should be the favorites, but they're still, to their core, they're the Lions.
EB, didn't they just...
Right.
I'm not going to say they just lost, but didn't they lose to the Buccaneers, who you just beat?
Exactly. If you do some of that college football math that you guys like to do all the time, they beat so-and-so and Notre Dame beat them.
Right, matchups.
Yeah.
Comparisons, schedule comparisons.
I'm saying this. I like our chances. I like our chances.
By the way, the most stark thing about it being 20 years since a playoff win was that PFT commenter tweeted out a clip of the Bucks-Redskins game from 20 years ago, and it's low def.
We talked about that earlier.
I know, but I know we talked about it, but to see it and watch like a clip of somebody running in from the end zone, and you can't tell who it is.
Yeah.
It's stark.
Yeah. I used to go to Circuit City in Beltsville all the time. And they'd have those big Tommy Horse Camp TVs, those ones that look like the size of a piano.
Yeah.
And the picture was so blurry.
I was just at Horses this weekend. He's gotten rid of all
he
those.
He did. He upgraded the television.
I know. But he used to have one of those.
He did have all the
used
bottles.
To have one. 20
I bought
years
one
ago
of
the old
first
house.
Big.
Yeah. Like literally the size of a piano, like grand piano.
You get buried inside that TV.
Yeah, weird appearance.
And somehow the picture was nuts.
Yeah. We had an appearance at Best Buy in Bel Air during the Age of Fest days, and I bought that big TV for $2,000.
How'd you get that home?
I think they delivered it.
You had to deliver it. You couldn't even throw it in your car.
No chance.
Come on.
No.
Yeah.
You kidding?
I couldn't believe. I remember that appearance. It took like 3 hours to get
Hey, real quick, we said we were going to hook you up with some Post Malone tickets. Caller number 10 right now at 800-636-1067. We'll hook you up with some tickets to go see Post Malone Monday, June 2nd at Northwest Stadium. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event info, visit thefandc.com/events. Raise your hand if you're going to take a nap after a Sunday night football
100%.
Game.
I mean, it's going to taste so good, too.
You're not taking a nap?
No, I'm probably taking a nap.
It's going to be delicious.
Yeah, I said raise your hand, Ricky.
I know. Well,
participate.
I was trying to ponder if I was going to whistle, too.
For Bish, Cakes, EB, I'm JP. We'll see you tomorrow. B-Mitch and Finley up next on a Victory Monday.